PFT Media.
Disclaimer. All episodes of The Experience with Chris Fio were recorded prior to the COVID-19 pandemic.
This is The Experience with Chris Fio. In each episode, Fio brings his unique and unashamed interview style to Central Florida. He conducts honest and open interviews with people that have the vocabulary and expertise that he lacks.
This week on The Experience with Chris Fio, I get to sit down and talk with avant guitarist Chris Belt. Belt is an Orlando legend and founder of the Accidental Music Festival, as well as the executive director of the Tim McCaw Arts Foundation. We talk music, life, and how important the arts are, especially in these troubled times.
Hustler, gun in a holster. That vision is slipping like a worn transmission. The days of transporting and not transmitting, cause the transcontinental flow got me trans.
Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of The Experience with Chris Fio. Today I have the great honor of interviewing Tim McCaw's executive director, Chris Belt. How are you doing today, Mr. Chris Belt?
I'm great, Chris. Good to be here.
Yeah?
Happy to be here, man.
So take me through a day in the life of Chris Belt lately.
Day in the life. We were just talking before we started recording about how I'm a new dad. My daughter Sidra is about to be 10 months old.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. So we wake up, we sing a little song and make breakfast, make some coffee. My wife and I work in the same office. She's the managing director for Opera Orlando. And Tim McCaw and Opera Orlando share an office. And we also share that office with the daycare where our daughter goes. So all of us head off there together. And we work to make Orlando a more interesting and musical place. That's kind of the mission.
Nice.
So.
And you're doing a good job at that. You have your own two music festivals that you run.
Yeah.
All right? And yeah. One of those is called the Accidental Music Festival. Why is it called that?
Accidental Music Festival started in 2011, and it was a sort of spontaneous organization of events with myself and several other people who were doing concerts with a similar artistic focus. So the idea being non-commercial music, whether it's contemporary classical or creative music, avant-garde, electroacoustic, just interesting things that didn't quite fit in any other space or category. And we noticed we're all using the same venues and we all were booking shows around the same time. So without a whole lot of coordination, we were able to put together, in that first year, we had 11 consecutive nights of performances. And it was really cool. It was just like it brought together people who had like-minded musical and artistic interests, and it was a cool vibe. So yeah, that's how Accidental Music Festival came about. That's how it got the name as well. Somebody just said, oh, it looks like we have an Accidental Music Festival on our hands.
Wow.
And in 2016, we switched it up again and made what we call the Accidental Music Festival Marathon, inspired by the Bang on a Can Marathon up in New York City.
Really? And what's the difference between the regular Accidental and the Marathon?
So the Marathon, we just put everything into one day. So we had, the first year, I think we had 12 performers.
That sounds insane. Sorry.
Yeah, well, like, you know, like a typical...
Like, not like, you know, like the idea, but just like the... what to do.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you think music festival, like in the common parlance, in the popular culture, a music festival is a multi-day event where you just see concerts happening. Every 30 minutes, a different band goes on, and you have to stay hydrated, and you're camping out and something like that. So we wanted to kind of combine that with the contemporary, classical, and creative music vibe, which is more concentrated. It's music that's made for listening and reflection rather than like a mosh pit or like eating mushrooms. And,
right.
And you know what I mean? It's like, it's not that same kind of culture. It's more sit and listen and think. It's more cerebral sometimes. So combining those two things, we had 3 years where we did the Accidental Music Festival Marathon, and those were also all local focused. So instead of bringing in outside artists, we would have local performers. And it was kind of a sign that the whole thing had grown and changed. The whole contemporary music scene here had changed enough that the first year of the festival, it was all performers from outside, maybe one or two shows where there was an established artist. But by 2016, we had a dozen artists who were already established, and some of them are still going strong, and some of them have started their own projects since then or started new projects. So it's a really healthy, thriving music community here.
That is an amazing thing that you're doing, and it seems like you're stepping stoning a lot of like young, out of the blue, like avant-garde artists are out here, like the niche crowd, mm-hmm. as you would say. And is that what you do with the other music festival that you have going on? Which one's that one? Can you tell me about it?
So the Accidental Music Festival is the only festival that I do, but at Timucua we also foster a few other organizations. So we work with a group called the Civic Minded Five that focuses 100% on creative music, free jazz, improvised music. And we work with Central Florida Composers Forum, which is a group of composers living here in Central Florida who produce their own concerts of their own music, hiring local performers to realize their music. And we have the Alterity Chamber Orchestra, which is a flexible ensemble of 15 to 18 players, and it's one, two apart. So if you imagine a normal symphony orchestra, you might have 28 or more violins in between the first and second violin section. Well, here you have one first violin, one second violin, one viola, one cello, one bass. You have one of each of the woodwinds, one of each of the brass instruments, maybe guitar, maybe piano, maybe percussion. And so everybody has to be a virtuoso in that kind of ensemble. So there's a really interesting...
That's an interesting take on music theory, too. That's an interesting, like, live take on it.
Yeah. So there's a great body of repertoire for that instrumentation. It's almost all written in the last 30 or so years.
So is this something that you're trying to put together for yourself?
These are all programs part of Timucua,
okay.
But I'm involved in all of them. And, you know, I started as the executive director at Timucua in 2016. That was the same year that my wife and a mutual musician friend of ours, Natalie Grata, she plays with the Orlando Philharmonic, and it was the three of us that got Alterity going. And my wife Beatrice and Natalie are the founders, and I'm more of an advisor
right
there. But these are all projects that I'm involved with in some way or another.
And nice. And how did you get started as the executive director at Timucua? What was the process like for that?
Well, up until 2016, people should know that Timucua was founded by Benoit Glaser and his wife Hélène Corriveau. They started hosting house concerts together when they moved from Montreal to Orlando back in 1998. Benoit was the music director of La Nuba, the Cirque du Soleil show that was
I
here
love La Nuba.
It was a great show. So if you ever went to see that, you might remember at the beginning of the show, they do a little parade led by a trumpet player. Well, that was Benoit.
That was him?
Yeah, that was him. For 8,000 shows, that was him. It was only at the very end that that he retired. Right before the show closed. So chances are, if you saw La Nuba at any point while that show was running, you've seen Benoit and heard him play the trumpet.
I think I was like 12 when I first saw La Nuba. That was amazing. Like,
yeah.
The music, the presentation, the performance. It was one of the best shows I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's astoundingly high-level entertainment. And so they started hosting house concerts on the nights when Benoit and was off work, when he didn't have to go play at Cirque. They wanted to go out and do something. So on a Monday or a Tuesday night in Orlando in 1999, 2000, you can imagine there wasn't a lot going on culturally as far as classical music or jazz. So they started hosting concerts and they became popular. And in 2007, they built their own concert venue. It's a house with a concert venue as the living room. It was designed to host events, and we're coming up on, we'll hit 900 events in the next few months.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
That's impressive.
Concerts of all different styles of music, theater events, plays, all kinds of things.
And Timucua is very critically acclaimed. I've read a lot about it, and that place is like really booming the music industry in Orlando, and you're really boosting it too. But from what I've seen, it's amazing the work you've done.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, so they ran the organization themselves until 2016, and Benoit sort of knew the show La Nuba was coming to an end and he'd need to retire. So he started looking at how to get the community more involved, and he knew that we would need to have an executive director to run the foundation and to increase the fundraising and turn it into a money-making operation instead of something that was just something that they did purely out of passion. They're still heavily involved and they still do the heavy lifting. It's still their house, and so they're giving a tremendous amount of their time and energy. But yeah, so I got involved as a volunteer. I had performed at the house back in 2008 and again in 2009, and Accidental Music Festival was partially in collaboration with Benoit and Timucua in those early days. Timucua was the fiscal sponsor. For anybody out there in nonprofit world, that's how that works. And then in 2016, we just sat down and started talking. I was offering whatever help I could as a volunteer to Benoit. For a couple of weeks, we were just working close together. And then he's finally said, okay, I want you to be the executive director. And
just out like that. Started.
Yep.
Wow.
We're just...
How'd that hit you?
It was cool. I mean, it's kind of a dream job. It's an organization that's really close to my heart that I would be involved with, whether it was my living or not. And it's been this incredible opportunity for me to transition away from what I was doing before. So supporting myself as a musician and supporting myself by working either in the performing arts industry. I worked for some presenters, I worked for some agents, and So I got away from that and was able to focus on being an executive director and creating a strategic plan.
A long career involving music, you know, being an instructor to being an intern for some foundations and festivals. And, you know, it's really good that you finally hit your dream job doing that.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't ask for a better place to work, and I couldn't ask for better people to work with. And it's my passion. I went to school for classical guitar, which, you know, if anyone's ever been to a classical guitar concert, it's something that works best in small rooms. It's chamber music. And so to have a facility like Timucua that sounds so good, like everything in there sounds so amazing, and where there's not a bad seat in the house, and where we're constantly striving to present better and better music to increase the level of artistry, where we get to work with the local music community and help them advance their careers and build a music economy here. I love all of that. I'm passionate about all of it. It rarely feels like work in the traditional sense. It's more just like every day getting up and thinking about how to improve the organization and make it sustainable for the future and make Orlando a better place to live.
That's wonderful. That's a wonderful message you have going and a wonderful motivation you have. Chris doing his little, I know, little head bob, which is cool. But I want to ask, do you still instruct guitar?
My only student right now is my niece. I've been teaching her, she's 10 years old. I've been teaching her for coming up on 4 years.
Wow.
And she's studying classical guitar with me, so that's...
How's she doing so far?
She's doing well. She's doing really well. She's got a good sound. She's a natural performer. So for me, it's just, you know, trying to improve music literacy and projection and make sure that she continues to enjoy it as much as possible.
That is awesome. And how do you normally get started teaching someone? Do you teach them through physical practice or through reading material?
I mean, it's both. You need to, in the classical guitar world, you need to find a way to connect with, especially with young students, connect with them through the music, and it may be music that they don't know. I mean, the average 6 or 7 year old kid starting to take music lessons doesn't have much of a reference for romantic period classical guitar repertoire or music of the Baroque or music of the Renaissance. And in classical guitar, we study music from the last 500 years, you know, whether it's music written for the guitar or transcribed from guitar-like instruments for the guitar, whether the lute or the vihuela or other instruments. And so you have to find a way to tell stories and to get a student excited about telling stories. So that's in my music education practice, like in my practice as a teacher, whenever it comes up, I always try to emphasize to students that they're telling stories. It might be a simple story. You know, a lot of like the very light fare that a little kid will learn, it's not super deep music. It's not, you know, this angst-filled thing. It might just be a light little tune, a very simple melody. And so you get the student to think about it like a story. Like you're going on a shopping trip, you pick out all the stuff that you want, and you're really excited about getting home and eating the food you bought on your shopping trip. And that might be as simple a feeling as you can communicate. And, you know, that's something that students can relate to. And you have to play recordings, and you have to play the music for them. You have to play duets, where that's a great way to connect. If, you know, if you don't know what else to do, if you play a duet together, there's nothing more fun than playing music with somebody else. So
Playing with somebody else is one of the best experiences I think anybody could have.
Sure.
You know, to feel that connection through your music, the vibrations and the harmony between each other, whenever you feel that, it's a wonderful thing. And how many times have you seen that connection happen through your career, teaching or non-teaching?
I don't know, like, the sheer number of times, but what I can say is that those moments when you connect to people through music in a profound way can sustain you for a long time. You know, you get that one great feeling of, wow, we pulled this thing off. We worked so hard. It sounded so good. And everyone loved it. Like, that can keep you going for years, you know? So
that sounds wonderful. And is that how you and Beatrice came to be? Was through your music? Or was that outside the music?
Yeah, actually, my wife Beatrice and I met when I went back to graduate school for music. And she was an undergrad. And back in the day, the music program at UCF did not have a real home. We didn't have enough practice rooms. We were using this old office building full of asbestos. And so the guitar players would always practice outside. So I would be outside practicing, and I would see Beatrice. And that's, you know, that's how we met. It was just connecting through music. And before we started dating, we played some music together, and then we jammed a few times with some friends, and it's been a part of our life, you know, for our entire relationship and even before. And we still perform together. We're doing some recordings now of pieces we've known for a long time, pieces that are special to us.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Is this going to be your first album with each other?
Yeah, we are kind of working on an album. We recorded over the summer at this great studio in Gainesville called Pulp Arts.
Pulp Arts.
Pulp Arts. It's a new space up there with a phenomenal array of gear that will just make any gear nerd very excited. And it's a great sounding room, and they have great staff and engineers there. So we did about 20 minutes of music up there this summer, and we're going to record in a few different studios. I don't know if it's going to look like a proper album, if it's something we're going to press, or it'll probably just be streaming. But we'll record in a few different studios. We're going over to Valencia College next week to use their nice new studio as well. And we might check out a few other places in town and just kind of spend basically a year is what we think it's going to take to just with our schedules to be able to juggle enough studio sessions to record all the music we want to do.
Oh yeah, that is sounds like a very busy schedule you have to do that on top of that. And as well as, you know, being a father, you know, you have a new child along the, you know, that is now here with us, who is a wonderful child. You know, could you care to talk about the fatherhood that you've experienced now?
Yeah, I mean, being a dad is great. It's the best experience. You could never imagine it until it happens, and I found a lot of excuses not to have kids, like, early on. Like, Beatrice and I would talk about it, and I'd say, oh, well, maybe next year. Let's talk about it again next year. And then when Sidra, our daughter, was finally born, I was like, why didn't we do this right away? Like, it's your heart grows so much, and you just, it's amazing. I all the parents out there will know what I'm talking about. So.
Oh yeah, it definitely, from what I hear from a lot of parents, it changes you as a person, like, for the better, you know. So how has it changed you so far? Can you tell, has it changed you?
I would say, the thing that happens very quickly is you realize certain things you thought were important are just not important. And that happens very quickly. It's not even like you start to realize it. It's, for me, it just washed over me. Like, oh, nope. It's your family is the most important thing. Like, it's just instantly your priorities change. You become a little protective of your family and proud of your family, and all these feelings that, you know, for my background growing up as a suburban slacker kid, you know, they were just not things that I really thought about. And then just instantly it's like you stand up a little straighter, you know.
So, oh, being a good example for, you know, your child, and that's a wonderful thing.
Hope so.
And that brings us to the top of the show's hour. So this brings me to the Fio question. So with all the things that you're doing with Timucua, with your music festivals, why should everyone look to Chris Belt for their music?
Why should you look to Chris Belt for your music? I would say that the thing that I love about music is the human connection that it helps us make. Music, as my conducting professor used to tell me when I was in school, music is preserved human emotions, preserved human characters. We use sound, we organize sound and silence to share something that transcends time and space, hopefully, you know, when it's done right. And I personally believe that the best way to experience that is in an intimate environment, a living room, you know, a living room like Timucua or any living room. And, you know, I've just always loved that part of it. Whether it was making mixtapes for friends when I was in high school, that thing that drives you is always, I want someone to feel this thing that I'm feeling right now. I can't wait to share with someone what I'm feeling from this music right now. And I try to bring that to my work, and I try to make sure that whether I'm performing or at the helm of Timucua, that we're always presenting music that helps people connect and experience life in the moment.
That's beautiful. And, you know, I really thank you for, you know, saying that. And that really connects me too, because I've been playing guitar and different instruments for about 15 years now. And everything you just said is just, it hits the soul. It's true. And I got to thank you for coming on to the experience today and being my guest.
All right, man. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Everyone, this was Chris Belt on The Experience with Chris Fio. All of you, have a good night. Who know where I go, but right now I know there's no place in the world that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me. There's no place that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me. Just you and me. There's no place that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me. Just you and me. There's no place in the world that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me. The Experience with Chris Fio is produced by Boris Douglas Garvey and Kyle Eagle. It is a joint production of Borma, Vonti, and PFT Media. The theme song is You and Me by Enmore Superstar. Just you and me. There's no place that I'd rather be than right here. Just you and me. Just you and me. There's no place in the world that I'd rather be than right here. Just you and me. A PFT Media production.